Hello and welcome to the multiverse of marketing. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is JR Sweeney.
I'm here as well.
I'm just happy I still have the lung capacity after COVID to do that.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hack, 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 wheeze, wheeze, wheeze.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, we're glad you're still with us.
Yes, and I'm glad to still be with us so that we can talk about this, the most surprising of episodes to be enjoyed. Going into it, of course, was I disappointed that we weren't talking about one of the greatest characters of Star Trek ever? Yes, yes, slightly, but you know what? This ROM does not disappoint.
I, for me, doing this show is generally like, oh, it'll be some fun curiosities and stuff like that. I did not expect to come out of this just being like an evangelical ROM guy now.
Have you heard the good word of ROM? Which makes a lot of sense, because I swear to fuck, way back when I was a kid hanging around like late 80s, early 90s comic book stores, I'm pretty sure some creepy guy at some point went, have you ever heard of ROM? And it's like, oh, go away, creepy dude. Yeah. No touch.
Yeah. Well, and you know, this is one of those things. By the time I was reading comics, ROM was over.
Mm-hmm. Same pretty much. I mean, like, we're talking the last years of it. I was always really pissed as a kid that I started reading comic books right after the switchover between classic, well, not classic, but Chris Claremont X-Men and Jim Lee X-Men, you know, like, where they look like they do in the cartoons. And there's like an entire era of Marvel that did a switchover in 89, 90 when Todd McFarlane and all the Image kids, the soon to be Image kids, were designing stuff. And like the paper changed, the color that they used for the print changed, the designs of everyone changed. And I was so pissed in the early 90s that I didn't get to enjoy the glory that is 80s Marvel. And ROM kind of represents that. I didn't want to pay attention to it when I was a kid, but now I'm, oh, it's like the promised land.
Well, and yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's one of those books. I don't know. I just, because it was, it was over, and because Marvel straight up no longer had the rights to it, so none of it was getting reprinted, because ROM was not appearing in anything. Generally speaking, I just had no reason to give a shit. And, you know, so, and now, when you look at it, like, there again, they can't reprint his crossovers with other books to any real extent. So you'll have the Dire Wraiths show up in old storylines of X-Men. That's really it. Like, you know, you don't get the full effect. There is nothing, there's not enough there to make you go, oh, this was actually a thing.
Yeah.
It's just,
Of the opposite of how like Marvel Transformers and G.I. Joe's was, which were like started generally in the Marvel universe. And then as soon as it picked up, they were like, no, we're not working on the continuity of that. Fuck off. That's insane.
Yeah.
And so it instead was given the time and the space to continue to work within the Marvel universe. And it did so beautifully. We'll get to it later, but like all of this crescendos, like a secret symphony behind some of the most like iconic storylines of an entire generation of Marvel. And it's like, turns out there was a secret war around the time of the Secret War.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess let's start with what the fuck ROM actually is.
Yeah, and like, here's one of those things. If you, dear listener, are in the position I was and JR was like going into this where it's like, yeah, I've heard of ROM my entire life, but like, personally, I always thought of him in the same vein as like Herbie and Aaron Stack. I don't give a crap about Herbie or Aaron Stack. I don't care. ROM looks, you can just look at it and be like, that is a book that was created around the time that like War Games was in theaters, because someone in editorial went, computers! Computers are big! Do something with computers! Yeah. Their writer who writes on like, at best, an Apple II is like, fucking... CPU, the cop from the future? ROM, he's a space knight robot cyborg.
CPU is actually Charles Pulaski Ullman.
Oh, fuck.
Yes, the cop from the future who is now more machine than man. He's not RoboCop. That's a no. Let's be clear.
Let's be very clear. RoboCop is cool. This is shit.
No. So ROM was created by, ROM was released by Parker Brothers.
ROM was unleashed.
And so it was very general. ROM was an electronic toy. At a time when that wasn't really a thing yet. And for Parker Brothers especially, because Parker Brothers had only ever done board games, and this was their first foray into the world of action figures and things.
And you can tell, because they just came up with a single action figure. It's like suddenly they decide to make toasters. So they made a toaster, and you're looking at it and you're like, okay, what am I supposed to? I mean, yeah. I know I make toast, but what the fuck, man? But like, where is ROM? Was the context of ROM at the time, there was no context of ROM. There was no enemy. It's just, here's ROM. Kids love it. Gabbo.
The context was, he's a space knight. That's it. And it's an interesting toy. I mean, looking at it, it's not the kind of thing that as a kid I'd have been super jazzed by.
It's got a really bland design. Like that's definitely one of the funniest things about the ROM comic book is like they continue the incredibly painfully bland design that he had at his beginning all the way through the end. You're like, there surely at some point someone would have been like, can I please do something to make him look cool? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And the toy itself is interesting because he's got a backpack which provides all the sounds. He has light up eyes, and then he has his weapons, all of which plug into a light bulb that's attached to his backpack. And that's where you get stuff like the neutralizer, the analyzer, all of that. The toy was not really a hit.
What a surprise. Charitably. A completely non-contextual toy of an ugly ass robot. Wow. Neat.
Right. Right. But what did click was the comic book put out by Marvel. Which for basically its entire run was written by Bill Mantlo, who had also done Micronauts, which was also better than it should have been.
Yep.
And it's really fucking good.
Like, it's really fucking, and it's funny that, like, this managed to ultimately have as good a story as, like, its compatriots, like, you know, like Transformers and G.I. Joe and Micronauts. And it's just, it's a testament to the era, but it's also this hilarious, like, so, as you were saying, ROM failed as a toy, and it got shipped to England. Like, various versions of ROM got shipped to England. It's like, ah, we'll just flog them on the Brits, whatever. And it got added to the Action Man line, if I recall. And Action yeah. Man is what they call G.I. Joe over there. So ROM, before he even becomes a comic book character, is it literally a G.I. Joe?
The original G.I. Joe, the... you know,
Dolls.
Doll, yeah. G.I. Joe, was released in the UK as Action Man. In the 80s, when they redid G.I. Joe as the 3¼-inch
G.I. Joes,
that yeah. series was called Action Force. And that's why I was like, no, wait. So we're both right.
We're both right. Hooray. It's the best kind of world. And yeah, it's like, that also gives you a sense of scale that, like, the original ROM toy was too large. You know, it was a doll. It was a doll with yeah, light up well, eyes, you know.
And fortunately, this was before they downscaled the G.I. Joe action figures. So it would not have been, thankfully, it wouldn't have been the full-size ROM toy and then, like, a bunch of 3¾-inch
Which one of you are spies? I'll get you. But, like, I just love that even before we get into the rich complexity that ROM somehow wove its way in and out of, it already has a tinge of that, of like, we're not even out of the starting gate, and it's already a fucking G.I. Joe in England.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what's interesting about, so if you're not familiar with ROM, here is the Reader's Digest version.
It's gonna sound real fucking stupid.
If you're not familiar with Reader's Digest, go ask your mom. I don't know. So, on the planet Galador, the Galadorians lived in peace. Hooray. You know, daisy chains for everybody. Along come the Dire Wraiths. And the Dire Wraiths are from the shitty part of town called the Dark Nebula. And they are sorceress shapeshifters. In the Marvel version, it turns out that they are actually an offshoot of the Skrull race, so on and so forth. But they start waging war against Galador, and the Galadorians decide that they are going to augment their people, and so they ask for volunteers. And the first volunteer is a guy named ROM. And so it's one of those situations, everybody's like really leery of agreeing to all of this. And ROM's just like, I'll do it. And then a bunch of people were like, okay, so at least I wasn't the first. Okay, I guess.
I'll do it, okay.
So they give up their humanity in order to be turned into cyborgs known as Space Knights. And they proceed to wreck shop on the Dire Wraiths. They turn back the Dire Wraiths, not only drive them from Galador, but drive them from their own home planet of Wraith World.
Great name for it, Wraith World.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
And that's how they end up in the Pegasus Galaxy, harassing Stargate Atlantis. this entire read-through, I mean, like, to be very fair, the Dire Wraiths are designed horribly. They as I mentioned to you previously, they look like soggies. And to get over the fact that I couldn't find them a viable threat as soggies, in my head, I started picturing them as the Wraiths from Stargate Atlantis, because at least that's something, damn it.
The redesign that they go through that gives them more, their more, I don't know, Zoidberg without his shell kind of Sharpay appearance. It does them a favor in that regard, because I find that a lot more intimidating than general doughy white thing. And so the upshot of all of this is the Wraiths are on the run. The Space Knights proceed to split up and start trying to track them down and basically eradicate them from existence, which in this case, what that involves is the neutralizer being used to send the to banish them to Limbo.
That's right. It's not genocide. It's just segregation.
Well, you know, here's the fundamental thing is that early on, I had a real problem with the Dire Wraiths because their whole thing was like, we're evil. We're going to work our evil. Evil is the best. And then eventually things come around to like, well, they want to retake their home world in order to, or they want to take over Earth to use it as a staging ground to retake their home, which is at least somewhat relatable. Mm-hmm. Like when a villain is just like, I love evil so much, I'm just like, all right, like,
neat.
I don't buy that. But like someone having even a relatable goal, like we just want to retake our world, I get that. But so Rum comes to Earth looking for Wraiths, and that's where we start our series. Over the course of things, he develops a bit of a supporting cast, though most of them wind up dying against the Wraiths. The only one who makes it from beginning to end is Brandi Clark, a human he meets initially who is just all about getting the dick he left back on Galador.
Mm-hmm.
She is just so thirsty for Rom, to the extent that like her boyfriend is just like, oh man. And it's just like, move on, man. I'm sorry. I know. But like, you know, if you get left for a good looking guy, if you get left for a guy that's just like super hot, then maybe you can just be like, well, maybe I can prove I'm the better person. But if she falls in love with the vaguely humanoid dude made out of chrome, because she's like attracted to his inner humanity, that's it for you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What can you possibly do to compete with that? Just go meet someone else. But that's fun because he dies. So
eventually, thankfully.
Yeah. Now, the whole Brandi Clark thing, it does ultimately. All right, we'll get to Brandi Clark. I'm sorry. I was about to. So what's interesting to me about Rom, and I think what might have kept me from connecting with it when I was younger. So I have a really hard time with stories about people who have been robbed of their human body to some degree. So, fun fact about me, I have tremors. I've had tremors since I was born, okay? And it's a hassle. It's not full blown. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and talk about a disability or anything, but it's a giant hassle because I can't write without it being messy unless I press very hard and then my hands hurt. If I get pulled over, my car's probably going to get searched. So I had to learn to get up to all my nefarious shit at home. I have no doubt that, that it has cost me jobs because people think I'm, tweaking pretty hard. And, I have no doubt as well that when I hurt my back, it took me longer to get actual help for that because a lot of doctors probably thought I was there for pills. So,
crap.
Reading stuff like New Teen Titans, where Cyborg would just be like, yeah, you know, I'm a Tin Man now. And it's just like, wait a minute, you can write your name without it being a whole thing and crush a dude's skull? I don't know what the fuck you're complaining about, Pinocchio. Get over it. But I think what's interesting about Rom is this is not a thing that happened to him.
No.
This is a thing he gave up. And, you know, ostensibly with the promise of being allowed to become human again once it was all over, though over the course of the series that becomes less and less of a possibility. And I think that's why I like the Marvel version more than the later IDW version, because the IDW version does make it an accident. Initially, like Rom and a couple of other people fall into a mine and get covered in goo, and that's how they become space knights.
Yeah, that's just normal. Like,
that's boring as shit. But this, where he's just like
the most noble of noble. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
And it immediately makes him like a very 80s sci-fi fantasy hero, where it's like, no, he is, of all his people, he is the only one who is truly, you know, noble, truly just, truly worthy, blah, 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 blah. If this was a more modern book, Rom would have held Mjolnir at some point, just to like...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that elevator could definitely move the hammer.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it would have, like, Mjolnir would have, there would have been no hesitation. Mjolnir would have just said, yeah, go ahead, pick me up. Fine. Yeah. You know? Yeah, he's really interesting and really great. And I like that initially everyone thinks he's an alien invader who's just going around murdering people.
Yeah. It's a great like 70s, 80s conceit, because they could have done a very lazy book that would have gone for 20 or 30 issues, where it's just find another way for this, Bill Bixby, Incredible Hulk style approach to scripting, right, where it's like, you know, everyone in town thinks he's evil, but he befriends one person and then he has to save that one person. But in saving that one person, he justifies the town's belief that they're evil because he just like vaporized the sheriff, who everyone, you know, agrees is like a corrupt criminal or something, but oh my god, he's a threat to town or some shit like that. And it's like easily rinse and repeat. Like there's a way to make this quantum leap. My god, yes. But the true joy of it is just as you're getting real fucking sick of that conceit, they blow it up in a pretty decent way, and they just keep stripping away any restrictions the story has. Every time it runs into a barrier and you're like, well, this is a single, you know, like comic. It's not like it's going to say extend to the entire Marvel universe, right? Right.
Yeah.
And then it does.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, just because it doesn't really touch any other Marvel titles the way it should.
Yeah, I mean,
it touches,
yeah,
X-Men.
This should be a massive event that has consequences for characters across all books. Like, this should be Secret Invasion.
For sure. And it's not, you know, it, like I said, it crosses over into X-Men because the Device Forge builds that winds up stripping Storm of her powers was an attempt to copy Rom's neutralizer. And so the Dire Wraiths and Forge are a whole subplot in Uncanny X-Men and stuff like that. But it, yeah, this generally does not have the effect that you would expect. All-out war involving every super team to have. They all appear.
They're the fucking Beyonders in this.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it is interesting that Rick Jones joins the cast later on in the book, because you can't do anything in the Marvel Universe without Rick Jones sticking his fucking face into it.
I mean, I feel like for a very great long while of time or whatever, that was like the seal of approval of like, okay, kid, you're actually a part of the company now. Here's Rick Jones.
Yeah. We'll stick Rick in and see what he does. But I think that, you know, between the, you know, the initial arc of things wherein he comes to Earth, you know, he fights some random dude in one of his friend's armors, and so on and so forth, with all of the, oh my God, he's just going on a murdering spree, all of that. Then you get into like Terminator and everything with that. And then once you're kind of bored with that, then they move on to, oh, well, here's, you know, Brandy as Starshine. And then it's like, okay, all right. And then it's like, what if we just had the entire world go to war against these things? And you're like, wait, what? And then that's over. And it's just like, what if Galador's fucked? And so it's all just, it moves along at a very good clip. A lot of it is very monster of the week at times, but then it doesn't ever really give you a chance to get bored with the status quo. It has the way things are, and then you're just like, okay. And then it moves on and it does something else. And then you start to get used to that. And it's just like, forget about that. We're doing this now.
Yeah.
And it's great.
And yeah, because it does it in a way that feels natural. Like there's a pacing to it. There's an issue where Rom is healed. He's returned to his human body. And it's like, okay, so is that the status quo going forward? And you find out that no, it's a fake. And it's like, okay, so we're just taking these kinds of random sidestep stories. This very much reads, and I know I made the joke earlier of like it gets a bunch of Return of the King endings, but the more I think about it, it literally is just Lord of the Rings, because it's like, we were making this book for a while, then we changed our minds, and it became this book for a while, and we changed our minds, it became this book for a while, and in the end, they come home and find out that home is shit. Oh, yeah. We're gonna have to fix it now. Okay. You know, it's like, what a terrific saga that stumbled forward through into greatness and didn't really drop the ball at any time. I don't understand how this book is so good. And I know that it's because of the talent of those involved, like a terrific creative team. But this book should have failed well before it reached a dozen issues, because it was still very boring, pat, reductive at that time. And I'd love to know the business decisions behind how this book survived long enough to become good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was surprisingly on board to begin with. In reading the first few issues, I'm like, this is actually fairly decent.
I mean, fairly decent, certainly, but like not innovative, like just very much. Okay. All right. Yep.
Well, yeah, it was the kind of thing that there's a lot of things that we cover for this that if I'm positive about them, it's always qualified. Mm. It's always just like, well, this is better than it has any reason to be, or it's good for what it is, or what have you. There is no qualification with this. Like, ROM starts out decent and just gets fucking bananas. Yeah. And I honestly, this is one of those things that I wind up kind of wanting to just, if anybody's like, hey, what's an old series that you've read that you, and I'm just like, ROM the Space Knight. It's really, no.
There's only 75 issues, read ROM.
So listen, I know this is, so shut up, listen to me, read this book. because yeah, it's between the stuff with Terminator, where the remains of his humanity get stolen and put into somebody else who's then murdered by Galactus. His being cloned by the Quasimodo intelligence and then immediately starting to deteriorate. Brandi Clark becoming Starshine and immediately just declaring holy war against all dire wraiths. All of it, I'm just like, this is really fucking good. And it sucks that it's not just readily available. It really does.
Yeah. And not only that it's not readily available, it can't be brought back in any way at the moment. Like, this would be a great comic to relaunch. This would be a great comic to have as a backstory for something, as a basis, a jumping off point. What if you had like a book like Blue Marvel and the Ultimates, and they come across Galador, and it's like, fucking people haven't been to Galador in 30 years. We have no idea. The last time humanity fucked with Galador was during a secret war.
Yeah.
We almost lost the planet, well, and we had no idea.
Well, what's interesting is, so the rights are so screwed up. Galador is still around. Galador is still owned by Marvel, and the Space Knights still appear in shit. They've appeared as recently as right before X of Swords, I believe, because Cable wound up with a sword that belonged to the Space Knights. They appeared in Annihilation Conquest and things like that. The only things Marvel doesn't own the rights to are ROM and the name Dire Wraiths. Like, and even that's kind of wonky because I guess back in 2016, Hasbro, which now owns Parker Brothers because of fucking course they do, tried to trademark Dire Wraiths, and Marvel tried to challenge that, but then they worked something out. And so now Marvel owns the physical design of the Dire Race, the weird bug thing they've got going on. They own that. But they don't own the name Dire Wraiths anymore. They own the Space Knights.
Another successful Marvel contract.
They own the Space Knights, but they don't own ROM. It's kind of like with Micronauts in that they still own like Bug and the Enigma Force and things like that, but they don't own a Kreuer or what have you. What really I think sucks most of all is with stuff like Transformers, the rights are fairly cut and dry. IDW has been able to reprint the old Marvel Transformers comics because that's all owned by Hasbro. So those trades are out there. They're available, but the rights situation with ROM is so fucked up that they can't do that. They can't release the old Marvel stuff in trades. Marvel can't release the old stuff in trades. It's just gone. So your options are go out and search out every last issue of the series or, you know, pirate it. And, though honestly, like
heavens no.
I mean, in this case, I don't feel bad saying to pirate the old Marvel stuff, because who are you taking money away from? Nobody's.
Yeah, there's literally no way to buy it unless you're sitting there in a comic book shop going through the singles issues and somehow finding every single one of them.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't go out and buy them. I'm just saying, like, if you want to dip your toe into it without having, you know, if you don't want to commit to buying an entire series sight unseen, there is no way to do that legally. There is no way to check it out short of pirating it. And, you know, that's a pity, because it's really fucking good. And, I mean, shit, Bill Mantlo's been struggling. Like, and it sucks that so much of his stuff is unavailable because he was working on stuff like this in Micronauts. So, come on. Do the right thing, Marvel and Hasbro.
Work that shit out so that I can inevitably get my ROM Miracle Man crossover event.
I mean, you know, if nothing else, so I'd just be happy with a Marvel Legends ROM.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because
ROM Max. It's just very, very first fucking panel is like them prying his dick off and like putting it in a box.
This is the official Galadorian dick box. But yeah, so
Garth Ennis's greatest work.
So what I find funny though is, so the series goes on. Galador gets moved by Galactus and the Space Knights are cut off from it because they have no idea where he put it, because Galactus is just, I guess, a prankster.
I've seen this season of Doctor Who.
And so at the end of the series, as part of Secret Wars 2, Brandi Clark wishes to be back with ROM on Galador. So the Beyonder's like, fine, and sends her to Galador. Meanwhile, ROM is making his way through space and picks up various Space Knights. And so eventually they all congregate on Galador, but Galador's gone to shit. Because after they were moved, The people decided they needed a second generation of space knights to protect them, but these space
Hey, you
knights.
kids ever read Kingdom Come? Kingdom Come happens.
Yeah, it's basically like they need more space knights, but these space knights are all dicks. And so what you wind up with is these space knights just slaughtering their way through the planet. And the short version is the bank which holds the remains of all of the space knights that would have allowed them to become human again is destroyed.
So many dicks in so many boxes, gone forever.
Just it's a dick genocide and you hate to see it. But the other thing is they wipe out the last few purely organic Galadorians, and then like the second generation space knights are all killed off. And so all that's left is a bunch of first generation space knights, all of whom are unable to ever get out of their armor. Like they are now just locked in. However, in doing all of this, they wind up, they locate the remains of Terminator and thus the remaining bits of ROM, which are now suddenly still viable. And so they're just they take them and there's like an orb of energy that just converts ROM back to human. And then ROM and Brandy get their happy ending. The problem with this is twofold. Number one, you can't Adam and Eve your way back from extinction. Like, there's a minimum number of individuals you need to actually rebuild a species, and it's a lot higher than two. A lot higher.
Last I recall, for the human race is roughly 10 to 12,000. So
Yeah.
you're off by a bit.
Yeah, there's a pretty wide margin to fill back in there. So basically, like you've staved off the extinction of the Galadorian race for a generation. That's it. Number
Yeah.
two, we don't actually know. I mean, I know that this is Marvel, and so everybody's genetically compatible with everybody. But in all seriousness, we don't actually know if Galadorians are compatible with human beings. We don't know that they can reproduce. It's just assumed that they can. And it's like, will they though? So.
Well, maybe Rom has a dog dick, and it just right after the book ends, they go home, and Brandy finds out, and then she contacts the Beyonder for a one-way ticket home. Thank you very much. Nope.
You'd
Goodbye.
think at that point she could contact the Beyonder and just be like, "Hey, can we make this work?" No, she's just like,
And the
"I'm
Beyonder's
out."
like, no.
Well, it's like all of the complaints people have about the Little Mermaid, where it's just like, what is Eric gonna do when he finds out he's expected to rub one out over a clutch of eggs on their wedding night? But like, at least Eric and Ariel are from the same planet. There's a common genetic ancestry, however far back that might be. Humans and Galadorians, we have no idea. I mean, like, the Shi'ar look vaguely human, but they're more birds and stuff like that. We have no idea.
Well, no, it's true. Like a Skrull is vaguely human, but like that would mean that we're more directly related to the Dire Wraith than the Galadorians,
Right. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what does it mean? Nothing.
it's like for all we know, they're gonna try and make something happen, and like Rom is just gonna be like, oh, you have that. See, we're actually more closely related to your Earth antelope, so I
I'm sorry, did you say antelope or cantaloupe? Yes.
So it's more of a germination situation. This is not going to work. And I'm so glad. I really hope from here on out we become the show that people tune into to talk about whether or not characters will be able to fuck.
Yeah, the funny thing is, while you were doing that, my mind decided to populate itself with an image of a Shem hanging out in like a Kirby celestial cluster, just like rubbing his chest and his going, yeah.
Or what is it, Bueno Excelente from Hitman? Just like,
Bueno.
bueno. Stacey and I will joke around about that because I've told her about Bueno Excelente. And so, like, we'll just joke with each other and just be like, bueno, excelente.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, who else can't fuck? No, but yeah, it's the Marvel series is phenomenal, and that's why it's kind of a pity that the IDW series just kind of exists or did for a hot minute, because now even IDW has lost the rights to all this stuff. But like their ROM book didn't even make it to 20 issues. It was 14 in an annual, I think. And then,
Which is like, damn, that's embarrassing.
well, and especially, you know, I guess technically, if you count ROM's other appearances in other things, because they tried to make a whole Hasbroverse happen. You know, maybe Rom appeared in 20 issues total. But I don't know. A lot of that really, really sucked. As much as I liked some of the IDW Transformers stuff, it was just like, oh, we're doing Visionaries now? Sure, why not?
Well, there's always Paradise X. Everyone loves reading Paradise X.
Hey, you know. Whatever.
No. Call lie on that one.
I actually, you know what? I really liked Earth and Universe, and then by the time it got to Paradise, I was just like, what else you got?
Yeah, the steam falls out of that one
Yeah.
rather quickly.
But like I said, the IDW stuff, I think the major issue is the fact that there again they made it an accident. And they really, because they were introducing Rom into a universe that had already had experiences with giant robot aliens, it was kind of just feeling a bit like a retread, because they're just like, we've got protocols for this, people, in a way that the Marvel stuff didn't, at least not to the same extent.
Even though, like, realistically, the Marvel, I mean, I did like how the Marvel one, like, slowly introduced aspects, but like having S.H.I.E.L.D. hunting Rom, and then yeah, the Soggies decide to just abandon S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're like, we can be found out, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
And it, you know, eventually S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back and is like, sorry, Rom, sorry, we didn't know, sorry.
Our
Hey,
bad.
do you need all of our resources to fight your war?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it, of all the universes that should have had like something, it probably should have been Marvel, where it's like, oh, is an alien robot has come to Earth? Okay, fuck. Take a number.
Well, you know, at least in the Marvel universe, they've had enough that they've had varied experiences with aliens. Like, at this point, half the Avengers were aliens and stuff like that. In the IDW universe, they had, prior to this, experience with one alien race that had already murdered, like, millions of people.
Oh, good.
So, you know, it's kind of... I get why the IDW universe authorities react the way they do, but it's also like, okay. It's Transformers Redux. We get it. So, I don't know. I'm curious to see. I have no idea yet who has the Hasbro rights now. So we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll go to somebody who can do a Marvel caliber story again, but I don't know. I'm not holding my breath.
I just want Kevin Feige to come on stage during the next D23 or whatever, drop his pants, take a shit on the stage, like right in the middle of it. No commentary. Do his pants up and start walking around and go, we got Rom back, and just leave.
Oh, man. I would love to see a Marvel Rom movie, though, because a movie based on the Marvel run of Rom would be fucking amazing. It would be so good. It is such, like, you could do a couple. I feel like you could do a pretty decent movie of, like, the first arc or so of Rom. That would just be phenomenal. You know, that could sort of culminate maybe with what's his name, the Archie, the criminal who becomes a space knight, all of that. That could be wonderful. I'm sorry, that could be absolutely amazing. Even it, you know, you don't have to make it Avengers adjacent or anything like that. Have it be a self-contained thing, but still, just, like, do that, and that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's such leeway with the story that you could also turn it into the greatest retcon tool necessary.
Yeah.
Or you can just be like, yeah, no, that fucking Direwraiths. No, that was a Direwraith. No, they didn't die. Direwraith. Direwraith.
Yeah.
No, that was Direwraith.
So, yeah. Read Rom. Seriously, just go and read it. It's amazing. And if you don't read it, you're stupid. I think the headline here. Read it or you're dumb. And here again, I don't think we never discussed what we were going to do next.
No, unfortunately, I don't think we ended up getting that far.
Well, I'd like to put forth we do Rush City, the car comic.
Rush City?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, all right.
So
let's do it.
Join us.
Let's do it.
Join us next time where we'll be doing Rush City, the six issue car commercial. Like, subscribe, share our shit. I don't know. You know the call to action at this point. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, for as long as Twitter's not a complete cesspool. I don't know. I kind of went off the rails there. Read ROM. Read
Yeah, I
ROM.
mean, yeah,
Fuck.
read ROM.
There need to
Read
be more people
ROM.
who appreciate ROM the Space Knight. So I'm not just alone out here with my sandwich board on the side of the road. Fucking read it.
You're scaring
Well,
children.
look, if I'm wearing a sandwich board, I shouldn't have to wear pants, okay? I'm sorry. That's just a basic thing. It's
It's
covered,
technically a dress.
okay? You don't want to see anything, don't stand to the side.
This has gone places.
I'm just saying, Rom can't fuck.